to a Sun on the Strip podcast. This is Brock Radke, entertainment writer for the Las Vegas Sun, here to get you caught up on everything that's happening in entertainment and more from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. I've got an awesome interview this week to share with you with a Las Vegas entertainer you may be familiar with if you're a fan of Cirque du Soleil. He was on TV last night. He was on America's Got Talent. Before we get to that, let's do a little bit of news. We've got one major casino resort reopening this week on Thursday, June 25th. The Luxor will come back to life. Has not been open since the pandemic struck in mid-March. What's going to be open at Luxor? Restaurant-wise, Diablo's Cantina, Public House, Pyramid Cafe, the Starbucks, and the Backstage Deli will be operational on Thursday, and the Aurora and Centra casino bars will be open. The pool will be open. The salon will be open. The spa will not be open. That's the only reopening this week. Next week on June 29th, the Waldorf Astoria Hotel is going to be opening up June 29th, which makes a lot of sense because on July 1st, Aria opens just next door. Mandalay Bay also opens on July 1st. In the last week, a few different operations at different strip resorts, including Bellagio, Flamingo, the Sahara, and the Link, have had employees test positive for COVID-19. One example, maybe the first example of this happening, was at Mayfair Supper Club, where a kitchen worker tested positive. That venue reopened over the weekend after being closed for a few days. This certainly is something that was expected to happen, and I'm sure will continue to happen. It's a little bit weird to see these headlines pop up, but it's probably going to be the norm for a while. Nevada Governor Steve Sisolak said last week that he was reviewing options for enhancing mask-wearing protocols, considering that the governor of California recently mandated masks in public and that infection rates have been going up in Nevada and California and many surrounding states. There is some speculation that Sisolak could mandate masks in public in Nevada, or maybe the Nevada Gaming Commission could require guests to wear masks in casinos. Don't be surprised if some sort of announcement is made this week. I wrote about Marquee this week. Marquee, of course, the day club and nightclub at the Cosmopolitan, one of the most popular day life and nightlife venues on the Strip. It has come back to life. Marquee Day Club has come back to life. Now it's called Marquee Pool. And it's basically, as I tweeted, it's basically like a really nice outdoor restaurant and bar with a DJ, and you can go swimming in the daytime. They had a very successful week of operating this way, and they're going to extend their operations to nighttime, Friday and Saturday nights, starting this coming weekend. Read all about that right now at LasVegasWeekly.com. Pretty innovative new approach, and I think it's going to be a trend that we're going to see happen a lot more very soon. Another little entertainment note. A few weeks ago on this show, I had an interview with Sarah Hester Ross, the great comedian and piano player and singer, and one of her venues is back open again. It's the Piano Bar at Times Square. It's open every night now, so you can go see Sarah and her colleagues doing the dueling pianos thing at New York, New York. It's a little bit different now. You make a reservation. There's a $25 admission fee, but if you've been to that venue before, you know it's a lot of fun and definitely worth it. Speaking of New York, New York, my interview this week is with Alan Silva. An incredible aerialist and acrobatic performer whose act has been a pivotal part of Cirque du Soleil's Zoomanity at New York, New York, pretty much since the show opened in 2003. Alan is from Brazil originally, and he and his siblings represent the sixth generation of circus performers in his family, which is just incredible. Obviously, Zumanity is not running right now, and there's no telling when it will come back to life at New York, New York. But in the meantime, Alan did an audition for America's Got Talent, and that performance was broadcast last night on the show, Tuesday, June 23rd. There's no other act in Las Vegas or anywhere else like what he does. It's one of my favorite things about Vegas entertainment, that show and his act in particular. I'm a huge fan and was super excited to get the chance to talk to him.
Your tryout was just broadcast on the show this week. What was it like just being in that environment and performing your act on this incredible stage with all these viewers?
Oh my God. To be honest, it was pretty incredible. And it's kind of like a dream come true because, it's been a couple opportunities for me to be able to participate on America's Got Talent and to be a contestant. And for some reason, it never happened. But finally, after 4 years, we were able to make it happen. And this was really an amazing experience. And I've been performing before, but it's a different level because you're also like competing against outside the performers and singers and comedians and you name it. So it was pretty amazing experience for sure.
You know, it's interesting for me to see somebody like you who has done what you do for so many years, and then you're doing it in this different way for a different audience. And it did seem like you were a little bit nervous before your show. Did it have an impact on you?
I was very nervous before competing because, like I said, I was performing and my goal is to perform with my heart and soul for the audience and in the case for everyone that will be watching on TV. But also I'm competing, right? I'm not just performing. It's competition at the end of the day. And I was very nervous because actually the judges, they really know what they're talking about. They've seen so many people and they have judged so many people on America's Got Talent and the other Got Talent shows that, you know, some of them participated, that they really know what is good. So the stakes were high. And for me also, it was a different environment, a different stage, different rigging, different everything, basically. And for me, it was like a kind of like a modified new routine also for me. So this was also one of the reasons I was nervous. And plus, in this specific day, it was the first time that my kids were able to watch me performing live. So that was also, you know, the cherry on the top on the nervous side for me. So,
yeah, that'll do it. That's a lot of different factors going into it. But it was such an emotional experience, I think, for the viewers too, and for the judges to see your family there too.
Yeah, and for me too, it was a very emotional experience.
You also had your brother in the audience. I didn't know that. I do know that you come from a circus family, so I'm not surprised. But I didn't know that your brother is a performer also, and that he's been on AGT before. Was he part of the reason that you decided to try out for the show?
Yeah, he was one of the main reasons I decided to go in the show. His name is Alfredo from Deadly Games, and he was in the I don't remember which edition of the seasons, but he was probably like 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago in a competition, and they went very far. They went to the quarterfinals and I think semifinals. So they had really captured the heart of the Americans, you know, audience and the judges. And I really liked what they were able to achieve being in the show. And and after that, they went to AGT the Champions, which they ended up getting the golden buzzer from Miss Heidi Klum, which was amazing. And for sure, everything that America's Got Talent did for them and whatever happened in their life because of their competition in America's Got Talent really was the reason that I was like, wow, this show can really help people, you know, move on and make their dreams come true and even into other arenas. So definitely he played a big part on me participating in the show.
You do come from a long line of circus performers. Do you feel like you are always going to pursue a career as a performer and an entertainer?
Yeah, so for us, like me and my brother and my sister, we are the sixth generation of a circus family, right? So we grew up on the field. We grew up watching our parents perform, and we have cousins that are still in Brazil performing and all over the world traveling and performing also. So it is part of who we are, and it is in our blood for sure. I love to perform, but I know that eventually I won't be able to do these crazy stunts that I do right now as mm-hmm. I will get older. But definitely, I don't know. Maybe after being on America's Got Talent, I can maybe see myself going into a different field, maybe acting. I love music and still being artistic in that way and being involved, on the artistic field, but differently. So we'll see.
How did you come to develop your aerial act? Did you start off as a younger person doing a different kind of performance and eventually find your way to this, or how did this happen?
Yes. So I started training when I was 4 years old, and I actually started performing when I was 6 years old, just because that's what, circus kids do. You know, you start early because you are already on the field. It's, like I said, you have your parents, your friends and cousins or siblings already doing that, so you start early. And I started performing different disciplines in a circus. Started actually as a clown and move on to acrobatics, floor acrobatics, trampoline and flying trapeze, Russian bar, and you name it. Many different disciplines, right? And I ended up doing aerial straps. And from aerial straps, I was able to transition to aerial silks. Because it was something very new at the time when I started doing aerial silks. It was 1998, and back I was in Brazil at that time, and back in Brazil, pretty much it did not exist, and I wanted to create something unique and different, and I'm proud to say that I was, the first male aerial silks in Brazil at that time, and I just love it and try to make it, a perfect act out of it, so...
The silks versus the straps. I mean, when you're watching someone perform, the silks are, first of all, it's just a different material. They flow when you fly around. It's a very beautiful presentation, but it also feels a little bit more, I don't know, maybe dangerous because it's not, strapped to you, and there's different ways to hold on to things and stuff like that. What do you like about performing in silks?
So yeah, you were totally correct about that. Like being straps, of course, it's very hard too, and it can be very dangerous too. But with the silks, I like silks because you can make it a bit more artistic, and like I said, it moves and it has the flow to it, and I really like that aspect of it. But also, like I said, it's very dangerous because it does. Depending on the venue that you're going to perform, if it's a little bit more windy or if the AC kick in a little bit harder, the silks can, move direction and fly and escape from your hands or fly away when you have to grab it. And that's when things can go bad. So it is very dangerous and it's very tricky because it feels like the silk has a life on its own. And sometimes it just do what it wants to do and you can't control it. So that's the hard part about it.
Obviously, you must be training all the time to be able to do what you do. And you're in incredible shape. How has your training changed over the years?
Yeah, so when I started training growing up, it was pretty hardcore training to get your body in shape and also having the strength to be able to perform the tricks that you would perform. And then eventually when you start to perform and you are performing, let's say 10 shows a week, basically you just by performing, that's your workout and that's your training included. So So basically what I do is just maintain a little bit of the training. So it's not as hard, the training, like it was when you're starting to learn it. Basically, it's just maintaining it. But for sure, right now, during the whole situation with the quarantine and being at home, it's going to be really hard to get back on the silks because, you know, you're just out of shape. So trying to be in shape during this time. So.
Right. And it's not like, you know, if you were a comedian, things would be a little bit different in terms of, you know, keeping on top of your game and stuff like that. Not very many people have the kind of facility and equipment to be able to train the way that you need to be ready to perform, right?
Right. I think it's something they can practice at home, or people that do hand balancing or contortionist, which is very hard too. I think all, you know, types of acts and in different fields, they're all difficult in their own way. But I feel that it's something they can practice at home, maybe, you know, or if they have a smaller space, they just to practice. But to do aerial silks, not everybody, you know, can have the opportunity to hang the silks in their house. And especially in my case, the active way that I do is flying silks. It's not just hanging. So there's no way that I can do that in my house. So it would be very difficult to find a place to do it when everything is closed, right? So, yeah, you're completely right about that.
Only in Las Vegas, I suppose. You'd have to build like a whole new house to be able to train at home for what you do.
Right. You know, like just, I don't know, hang from my window outside. Like trying to escape from my room on the sheet.
I know it's been difficult to be off stage during this time, and I've talked to a lot of different entertainers and performers, and I know it can be a struggle, but, you know, the staying in shape and the training is one thing, but then the just not having the same experience every night where you do get to do what you do best and you get, you know, adulation from the crowd, that's a tough part too, right?
Oh, yeah, it's very different. Even when if you're just doing trainings, even in the venue that you perform, it's good, but it's not the same like when you perform, because you have the audience screaming and clapping, and you have the music, and you have, you know, like you are in costume and makeup, and you just like to transform yourself into somebody else, and you have everything going on at the same time and the adrenaline. And it's definitely very, very different than performing your act in training versus performing your act in a show. It feels, you feed from the energy of the audience for sure, but also I feel that it can be more exhausting, because if the audience is screaming and you know, enjoying what I'm doing, I will give even more energy back to the audience in my performance. So, which can be like very, very exhausting, but in a good way. So, yeah, it's very different for sure.
And your performance in the show in Las Vegas is so, it's just over the top. It's so theatrical and it's so emotional. It's kind of the climax of the show in some ways. How has your act in Las Vegas changed over the years?
It has changed. I mean, acting in Las Vegas has changed throughout the year for sure. It started in one direction, and eventually as the artistic director or the show would evolve and change their vision, eventually then the act has to change also to keep, you know, being a little bit more up-to-date. So, and also it's good. So for me, it's a little bit of a something new, and I can, you know, probably put a little bit of a new movement in there and tricks and images. So it's kind of good, you know. Change can be good too. So, but it has evolved a lot. It went from more classical to a bit more current and electronic music mixed with classical, a bit more of what the people are looking for, I guess, in today's age.
Now you are going to have a whole different audience, and you are going to be known not just as a Las Vegas entertainer, but as an entertainer in general, thanks to your appearance on America's Got Talent. What else do you want to say to anybody who is going to be watching you on TV and rooting you on?
I would like to say that, you know, it's just being for me a humble experience, and already to have so many people reaching out and, you know, saying the amazing things that they say in the comments, and saying that they were touched and they felt emotional, and sort of like I was crying in a good way, right? Just being very emotional. And I just want to, you know, tell everyone that I, you know, my goal is that I really see myself as, with all the adversities that I had in my life because of my size. If you don't know, if you're listening, I'm 3'10". So, and it's not very common to see somebody of my size doing what I do. But I've been judged a lot my entire life, and I've been bullied a lot because of my size. And if you are the person also that somehow felt this way about your image or your body type or whatever you're going through in life, I just want to say that to just be the best version of yourself, hold your head up high, and keep taking one step forward next, you know, in front of the other, and to never give up on your dreams and keep going, because everybody's deserving of a beautiful life and everybody's special on their own unique way.
That's going to do it for this episode of The Sun on the Strip. Big thanks to Alan Silva. If you missed him on America's Got Talent, go check it out on YouTube or tune in to America's Got Talent on NBC to see more from him. To hear more of this podcast, go to lasvegassun.com/podcasts, or you can listen and subscribe at Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you come back next Wednesday. Have a great week. Thanks.